are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, I'm old lovable Jack Kirk.
And I'm Nancy. And we co-host a big band program called When Music Was Music.
If you like great music with a blend of instruments and unforgettable instrumental solos,
if you enjoy memorable singers and close harmony vocal groups, then our program is just what you are looking for.
Tune us in every Friday night from 7 to 9 right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Jesus said, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be claimed in his name to all nations." This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We here at KNNALP 95.7 are excited to be able to bring the good news of God's saving gospel to the city of Lincoln and beyond. KNNA is expanding our programming with some Spanish Lutheran devotions. These Spanish Lutheran devotions will be heard at 5 a.m. and at 5 p.m. Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Please share this good news with your Spanish-speaking friends. And if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at info@thecross957.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in Jesus Christ.
Want to get a painting project started, but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting. For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, "Your satisfaction is our priority."
Stand up. Stand out. Protecting freedom takes hard work. Protecting freedom takes dedication. Protecting your freedom sometimes takes the ultimate sacrifice. But the rewards are great, knowing that you are doing something important for your country. You have that sense of responsibility and accomplishment, knowing that you are doing something that you believe in. So stand up. Stand out. Thank you, veterans of the United States Armed Forces, the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, the United States Marine Corps, the U.S. Coast Guard, and all of our merchant mariners. Thank you for what you have done for us, and thank you to every single one of you who continue to work in this field to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in this country.
This Sunday's message is going to be epic. But wait, there's more to it. Join Pastor Poppy and Pastor Moline on Proclaiming the One. Tune in Sundays at 12 p.m., Wednesdays at 11 a.m., Fridays at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Saturdays at 10 a.m. For past episodes on demand, go to thecross957.org/proclaimingtheone. That's thecross957.org/proclaimingtheone.
Lincoln and KRRC LP in Rogue River, Oregon.
Hello.
Welcome to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
And it may not just be KRRC anymore who is going to be playing some of our K&A programs.
Yeah?
It could be other radio stations on our Lutheran Broadcasters Network.
Woohoo!
And it could be WTPS. It could be, not likely, but could be KNGN, because their schedule's pretty full already.
Yeah.
Could be Arapahoe, K-A-G-R.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be LRUK, which is also not likely, but hey, you never know. They might listen to Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Out in Cambridge, England.
Oh, wow.
Because with the Lutheran Broadcasters Network, it's possible that we can borrow each other's original programs.
Awesome.
So it's possible that the Y-Files goes worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
One can hope.
I mean, we're worldwide right now via the internet.
That's true. That's true. Yep. And you actually know someone who listens on the other side of the world.
Yes, I do.
So that's pretty cool. So if you want any more information, you can go to thecross957.org and click on the Lutheran Broadcasters Network tab on at the top of the page there on the menu. So as I said, this is the Y-Files. It's a part of K&A where we ask our guests, pastors, to come on, and we'll ask interesting, controversial, tough questions that one may not be willing to ask their pastor for whatever reason that might be. Or they don't necessarily hear it in a Bible study, or they want mm-hmm. to say it in a Bible study, but they're too afraid to, for whatever reason. So that's what this show is about. So if you have any questions that you'd like to provide us that we will ask on your behalf, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files, or you can go to the website, thecross957.org, and click on the Y-Files link, that logo, mm-hmm. and that'll take you to the page where there will be a little button that says, ask a question. Click on that, and that's an email thing, and that'll email it straight to me, and I will see it then. So this afternoon is that – I can't talk today, David. This afternoon joining us is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor, thanks for coming back onto the program.
You're welcome. Good to be here, as always.
Mm-hmm. So the last time that you were on, Pastor, we talked about – contemporary Christian music, and one of those things that started that conversation out was, well, what does contemporary mean? That the word itself, you know, belonging to the present, it's modern, it's current, it's new. And same can be similarly said about Christian contemporary music. It's taking things of today. I guess it could also be called praise and worship music. So there's like this concert style music. It's more of a new way of things. There's usually modern instruments, but there's also seemingly a lack of liturgy. And so I just wanted to get that out there for that definition of what contemporary worship, praise worship could mean for us.
And I think it's important to note too that when you're talking about this subject, this topic, contemporary worship, contemporary music, non-traditional worship, non-traditional music, it means different things to different people. And so you just can't assume that everybody has the same experience, everybody has the same definition, everybody has the same thing in mind, likes or dislikes. And so if you're going to have this topic, if you're going to have this conversation with someone, it probably would be a good idea to define terms before you go too much down the line. Otherwise, you'll just be talking past each other.
Sure. Okay, so the question I want to get to first, and like you said, it depends on, you know, what people define it as. But I'm just going to go ahead and go with this. Is there anything wrong with having a contemporary Christian or praise worship style music on, let's start with the radio first. Is there anything wrong with listening to that type of music on the radio?
Well, if you're talking about a matter of personal piety, if you... talking about is it acceptable for a Christian to listen to a different genre of music? You know, if you want to listen to country western, you want to listen to doo-wop, you want to listen to punk, you want to listen to rhythm and blues, or do you want to listen to contemporary Christian? Quite frankly, I think that's probably the best way to look at this whole topic of contemporary Christian music. It is one genre of music among many. Mm-hmm. If you are looking to contemporary Christian music for your faith, if you are looking at contemporary Christian music as some sort of a pious thing to do to grow in your Christianity, you're looking in the wrong place, because the contemporary Christian music industry, say that three times fast, is driven by money, not theology. And it's not like you have a bunch of Christians sitting together at Bible study, and after they've studied for 3 hours a particular section of God's word, they're moved and inspired to write a contemporary Christian song. It doesn't work that way, folks. Just listen to the music. It is not driven by the word of God. It's driven by feelings and emotions. And many of the contemporary Christian songs that I've listened to, as we went through the last time I was on 6-8 weeks ago,
yeah,
when I went through the lyrics of the top contemporary Christian songs, yep, with one exception, you could plug your boyfriend or your girlfriend name in wherever Jesus' name was, and it would be perfectly acceptable. It would make just as much sense.
Right.
It would make just as much sense to be a makeout song for the back seat of a car as for a worship song as you think about how much you love Jesus and want him to whisper in your ear. So thinking of it in that respect, would a parent, a responsible parent, let their child listen to a song that had lyrics that were sexually explicit? That is a question that parents have to wrestle with.
Right.
Would a parent let their children listen to a song that glorifies the abuse of women?
Probably not.
Would a responsible parent listen or encourage their children to listen to a song that talks about murdering police officers?
No, nope.
Hopefully not.
Would a responsible Christian parent let their children or encourage their children to listen to a song that contains lyrics that could poison the soul?
Hopefully not.
Again. See, that is. I mean, if you want to listen to stuff for pure entertainment's sake, well, if you can separate the cop killing and the misogynist attitude and the profanity, if you can separate that in your own mind, well, then you're a better person than I am. But to encourage others, or especially children, to do that, most people, I think, would say that would be irresponsible. Mm-hmm. What we would look at as responsible with regard to other aspects of music and our children or our own soul, personal piety, when it comes to worship, we just assume everything that has the name worship or contemporary on it is okay. And that's not the case. That's not the case.
But as like in the last program that you were on, we did talk about the lyrics of a couple of songs, and one of those songs you said was fairly okay. There wasn't a lot that was too much wrong with it. I mean, you said there was a couple, one or two things that needed to be changed, and that would have been fine. Then you would have considered maybe having that in a worship service.
Yeah, and again, my primary concern is not whether it makes the little hairs stand up on the back of Jimmy Kirk's neck when we're singing it or you hear it performed, mm-hmm, but whether it teaches God's word in its truth and purity. That's my charge as pastor of this congregation. I was given that charge that I would make sure that the things that are taught and practiced, and especially what goes on in Sunday morning worship, would be in accord with God's word and the Lutheran confessions. I take that very serious. Sadly, not everybody takes it quite that serious.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and we are talking about contemporary worship music, mm-hmm, services, praise music.
Yep.
There's lots of different definitions of it. So we have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
lovable Jack Kirk.
And I'm Nancy. And we co-host a big band program called When Music Was Music.
If you like great music with a blend of instruments and unforgettable instrumental solos,
if you enjoy memorable singers and close harmony vocal groups, then our program is just what you are looking for.
Tune us in every Friday night from 7 to 9 right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7. On the air and online. Listen to KNNALP 95.7 FM anywhere in the world at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Welcome back to the Y-Files, and I just found out that apparently off-air mics can be heard on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So they're getting a little behind-the-scenes action here on the Y-Files.
Good thing we've been minding our Christian manners.
Yes.
So now everybody will know that I fed you the next question.
That's okay.
Everybody on Facebook will know.
Yeah. Well, now everybody will know because I just came clean.
It wasn't
nice.
Yeah, Captain Kirk and David don't really run the show. It's all pastors when they come on.
Yep, pretty much. We're just here to talk, sound pretty.
Yeah. So this is the Y-Files. We do this almost every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. live, and if it's not on a Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. live, it's a replay, which does replay throughout the week, as well as being archived on the website, thecross957.org. So we've been discussing contemporary Christian music, praise worship music with Pastor Poppe from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And David, let's go ahead and get on to the next part.
All right. Question two that I have here is, Pastor, who started the contemporary Christian craze?
Well, that is just a highly intelligent question.
Isn't it,
David?
Though?
I appreciate that. Yes. Well, you know, oftentimes people wonder, how did we get where we are? Who started this contemporary worship thing? Some people would talk about the worship wars that are going on in the Christian church nowadays, and where did this get started? You talk to a lot of people who are attending churches that are all the rage with contemporary worship, with emergent worship, with all the different smells, bells, and flavors of contemporary worship now. And they think that they're just like really, really, really on the cutting edge of something that has never, ever happened before in Christianity. If people are honest, and if they'll do the historical research, many of the components that we see in the contemporary Christian music craze going on today started in the second century.
Really?
About 150 AD by a crazy theologian by the name of Montanus. Now, it's very close to Montana, mm-hmm. but it's Montanus. And so if you just do a quick Google search for Montanism, and Montanism took place in, you may be familiar with from the New Testament, a little town called Phrygia. Sometimes it is called Phrygianism. But this was, we got to stop doing things formal. We got to only do things from the heart. And it's as the Spirit moves me and carries me on, everything needs to be Spirit-led and contemporary-driven. Mm-hmm. And Montanus was hugely popular in the late 2nd century. And the error went on into the 3rd century when it was officially condemned as heresy. So people that are in the Pentecostal church or the charismatic churches, a lot of the churches that really, really refined and take what we would consider contemporary worship to a whole new level, many of them are honest and trace their roots back to Montanus in the 2nd century. In Lutheranism, you may or may not be familiar with the name of Spener. Philip Jacob, or Jakob, if you want to use the German translation. Philip Jakob Spener was a Lutheran pastor that just really didn't like the formality of Lutheran worship. He didn't like the formality of the prayers, and he said things should be done from the heart, and things should be more Spirit-led. Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. And things should be of a more contemporary nature. And he wrote a book, oh golly, I should know the title of this book, in 1675, Pia Desideria, something like that, but encouraging people to be more pious in their living. And most people would look at Philip Jakob Spener as the father of pietism, against anything formal, against anything written, and only what moves and motivates the heart. This carried on to a movement to get rid of the formal liturgy, to get rid of pastors wearing an alb. Think of your local praise church down the street. There's nothing new here, folks. We have fought these battles before. And one of the reasons when C.F.W. Walther and the Saxon Christians moved from Germany to the United States was A, to get away from the Prussian Union that says you got to worship like the Reformed people, and B, to get rid to get away from pietism that had completely infected the church. And pietism was saying, you know, it's not what the Bible says, it's what you feel about the Bible. It's not what the hymn teaches, it's how you feel about the melody or the mood that it puts you in.
Interesting.
And so you see many of the same components going on there. And I think the current contemporary Christian thing probably could be traced back to the early, mid-1960s. There was a huge, huge movement that all the churches should get together and be one. Most of the time it's called the ecumenical movement. And so in this ecumenical movement, one way to get everybody together as one was to get people to try to worship together as one. So you scrapped most of the details of your theology. You looked for kind of a lowest common denominator, and what things can we all do together so that we don't offend one another. And just like the Coca-Cola commercial, can't we teach the world to sing in perfect harmony? Da, 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 da. Yeah, Google that too if you don't know the commercial. And so you see that there's really nothing new or contemporary with regard to the contemporary worship movement that we have now. It is the same old movement away from that which seems to be formal to something that is less formal and supposedly Spirit-led or Spirit-driven. It is leading people away from the clear, sure, and certain Word of God and leading people to depend more and more on feelings and emotions. Now, David, before, during the break, the Facebook people heard you asking me about this. Mm-hmm. You asked a question about emotion. How did you ask that question?
What part should emotions play in worship?
What part should emotions play in worship? Mm-hmm. We are emotional people. And how you express your emotions and how Jim expresses his emotions and how Jim's wife and Jim's kids express their emotions and how I express my emotions are all going to be different. Mm-hmm. But we are emotional creatures. And emotions, you know, some people, when they hear a certain part of the liturgy, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, or a new heart, O God, if they're struggling with a particular sin in their past, they might break down into tears. Or somebody going to the Lord's Supper, and they hear the words angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, as they think about their dead grandma or grandpa that used to take them to Sunday school or tell them about Jesus on the knee, they're going to be filled with the emotions of they can't wait to see them in church again, mm-hmm. or in heaven together again one day. But how that emotion comes from us, it's an individual thing. Mm-hmm. The problem is when I, as the pastor, in picking a particular hymn or order of worship, if I am driven by, okay, now at this point in the service, I want everybody to feel this way. Mm. And at this point in the service, I want everybody to feel that way. There's no other way to say it. That is manipulation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is absolute manipulation. And for us to express emotion in worship is just a natural part of being a human being. But when it comes to evaluating whether something is truly Christian worship or not, emotion plays little to no part of it. It is the content with regard to what is being sung or what is being prayed or whatever that must be where we evaluate things. Now, if there is something that emotes a particular emotion, we might want to keep that in mind. Let's say, for example, most people throughout the world know the tune, the Beer Barrel Polka. Okay?
Most people, yeah.
And so just that tune brings out the memory and the emotion of roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun. Okay? So if I, in my attempt to be clever, rewrite the holy and pious words of institution, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. If I rewrote those to the tune of the Beer Barrel Polka,
oh my.
That would, well, yeah, oh my. But that would be an example. Oh, that would be very contemporary, wouldn't it? Be very cutting edge. But that would be an example of where the emotion that comes along with that particular tune, mm-hmm. and that memory and that idea of a bunch of drunken people doing a polka on the sawdust of a bar room, mm-hmm. would swallow up the holy and pious words of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and quite frankly, turn it into a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't take it seriously if we were using that tune.
Some tunes don't work for sure.
Yeah.
There you go. There you
this
go.
Is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk along here with David, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy here on the Y-Files. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away, but while we're on a break, you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files, or you can watch this show live on the Canon A page, Facebook Canon A, which some of you are. Glad to have you on board. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Want to get a painting project started, but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting. For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, "Your satisfaction is our priority." Nearly 1.6 million car accidents take place every year due to cell phone use or other mobile devices while driving. As a result, 500,000 injuries and 6,000 deaths have occurred. Put down the phone and keep your eyes on the road.
Recently, KNNA The Cross developed something new. We began the Lutheran Broadcasters Network with the hopes of bringing other Lutheran radio stations around the nation together. Through this network, other Lutheran radio stations who have joined will have the ability to borrow each other's original programs. It is a great way to lift each other up, promote each other's radio stations, and have unity in teaching and preaching the Word of God. In a way, this allows stations to grow beyond their current broadcast range. Radio stations in association with this network will always remain entirely independent. Radio stations involved will have no authority over the other. The network's goal is to proclaim the Word of God and Christ crucified. We are excited to announce that KRRC-LP, The Bridge, of Rogue River, Oregon, and KNGN of McCook, Nebraska, have joined the Lutheran Broadcasters Network. You can check them out at our website, thecross957.org, by scrolling all the way down on the homepage and clicking on that link. Check them out. You'll be glad you did.
Give me that. There it is. 95.7 on the FM dial. Thank you, Soundtrack Telling.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk. And for those of you watching on Facebook Live, I'm sorry you keep hearing us during the break. I don't know what the deal is. It shouldn't be happening. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. And joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And we've been discussing contemporary Christian music, praise, worship, music style, services. It has all sorts of different names. David, what's the next part of our program here?
Well, I guess question that kind of leads us into the next segment is, what has been kind of the Lutheran experience with contemporary Christian music, trying to incorporate it, not trying to incorporate it? What's been the experience there?
Well, as I mentioned in the previous segment, that Philip Jacob Spener and the move toward Pietism, that was in the late 17th century, 1675 this Pietism movement in the Lutheran Church is huge, and it goes from different areas and such in Germany and throughout Europe, but to the point where there was no common hymnal, there was no common Lutheran worship, and pretty much everybody was doing their own thing. Hmm. The ancient rites of the church had fallen into disuse in many churches. Very, very similar to the situation that we see in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today. Mm-hmm. And so with this in mind, this is what the Saxon fathers, C.F.W. Walther and such, left. And when they came to the United States, these are the folks that are here or that are coming, the German-speaking folks. And so it was basically starting from scratch, teaching them the beauty of the liturgy, teaching them the importance of a hymnal. This is why you see in all of the constitution and bylaws of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even to this day, that if you're going to be a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you will only use hymnals that have been doctrinally approved, and you won't do your own thing. Mm-hmm. Every church in the Missouri Synod agrees to that. Now, not every church in the Missouri Synod takes that seriously, what they agreed to. Mm. And so here in the United States, a formal liturgical worship, people looked at the Lutherans and the Protestants who are here, they go, oh, they're just a bunch of fake Roman Catholics. They're a bunch of Roman Catholic wannabes. They're a bunch of Roman Catholics that let their pastors get married. Mm-hmm. And so the early Lutheran Church fought hard to make a clear distinction between Roman Catholic theology on one side and general Protestantism on the other. Lutherans are neither fish nor fowl. We are not Roman Catholic light, and we certainly are not your Baskin-Robbins flavor of Protestantism. Oh, you just happen to be Lutheran instead of Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever. That Lutheranism itself is a distinct theology, distinct and apart from them. The same is true for truly Lutheran worship. Not to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but to keep and retain that which is ancient and historical and Bible-based, and at the same time to incorporate that which is new and modern in the freedom and flexibility that God gives us in His Word. Mm-hmm. The Midwest probably had more of an influence, aside from the Roman Catholic influence, had more of an influence from the Methodist Church. And Methodist worship at that time would be very, very similar to what we would think of contemporary kind of singing, contemporary worship, not formal, from the heart. Think of your campfire songs when you go to Christian camp. You know, kumbaya, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Michael Rowe, The Border Shore. All right. So at the time, the early days of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, C.F.W. Walther was often asked about, is there any of this Methodist liturgy, singing, hymnody that we can incorporate into our worship? Well, if we can't incorporate into our worship, can we at least incorporate it into our Sunday school and teach these fun little songs to our kids? I have an essay here. It's not even an essay. It's a short little letter that was written in January 1883. You hear that? 1883. Mm-hmm. And the pastor wrote the question to President C.F.W. Walther, is it okay if we sing some of these contemporary songs, these little Methodist ditties in Sunday school? And this is C.F.W. Walther's response. This is from At Home in the House of My Fathers, 2009, translated by President Matthew Harrison. And this is on page 331 and 332. Honored Sir, this morning I received your worthy letter written on the 19th of this month. In your letter, you ask for my opinion on whether it is advisable to introduce the singing of Methodist songs in a Lutheran Sunday school. May what follows serve as a helpful reply to your questions. No, this is not advisable, rather very incorrect and pernicious. Our church is so rich in hymns that you could justifiably state that if one were to introduce Methodist hymns into a Lutheran school, this would be like carrying coals to Newcastle. In other words, the coals are going to get cold by the time you get them to the next city. Mm-hmm. The singing of such hymns would make the rich Lutheran church into a beggar that is forced to beg from a miserable sect. 30 or 40 years ago, A Lutheran preacher might well have been forgiven this, for at that time the Lutheran church in our country was as poor as a beggar when it comes to songbooks for Lutheran children. That's because of the pietism that they came out of. A preacher scarcely knew where he might obtain such little hymn books. Now, however, since our church itself has everything it needs, it is unpardonable when a preacher of our church causes little ones to suffer the shame of eating foreign bread. A preacher of our church also has the holy duty to give souls entrusted to his care pure spiritual food, indeed, the very best that he can possibly obtain. In Methodist songs, there is much that is false and contains spiritual poison for the soul. Therefore, it is soul murder to set before children such poisonous food. You hear that? Soul murder. If the preacher claims that he allows only correct hymns to be sung, this does not excuse him. For first of all, the true Lutheran spirit is found in none of them, meaning Christ is not at the center. Second, our hymns are more powerful, more substantive, and more prosaic. Third, those hymns which deal with the holy sacraments are completely in error. Don't baptize babies or have a sacramental regeneration understanding. No real presence in the Lord's Supper. Fourth, when these little sectarian hymn books come into the hands of our children, they openly read and sing false hymns. If you give them the books, the kids are going to sing them. A preacher who introduces Methodist hymns, let alone Methodist hymnals, raises the suspicion that he is no true Lutheran at heart, and that he believes one religion is as good as the other, that he is thus a unionistic man, a mingler of religions and churches. Doesn't matter what church you go to. We all believe the same thing. We're all going to the same place. Through the introduction of Methodist hymn singing, he also makes those children entrusted to his care of unionistic sentiment. Again, that everybody's the same. And he himself leads them to leave the Lutheran church and join the Methodist. This is a biggie. How many times I have had people tell me, we started doing contemporary worship, we started singing contemporary songs, and the next thing I know, my kids left and joined the First Covenant Church or joined the Berean Church. They left Lutheranism completely. Well, you let them down that path through the worship and the singing. By the purchase of Methodist hymn books, he subsidizes the false church and strengthens the Methodist fanatics in their horrible errors. For the Methodists, we think, and quite correctly so, that if the Lutheran pastors did not regard our religion as good or indeed as better than their own, they would not introduce Methodist hymn books in their Sunday school, but rather would use Lutheran hymn books. And finally, by introducing Methodist hymn books, the entire Lutheran congregation is given great offense. And the members of the same are led to think that the Methodists, the Albright people, and all such people have a better faith than we do. This may be a sufficient answer regarding this dismal matter. May God keep you in the true and genuine Lutheran faith and help you not to be misled from the same, either to the right or to the left. C.F.W. Walther. Again, that's from At Home in the House of My Fathers, Why Lutherans Should Not Sing Contemporary, or in this case, Methodist Ditties.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. This is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. We've been discussing Christian contemporary music, worship style, services, praise music, lots of different names under that. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. But in the meantime, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files, or go to thecross957.org and check out K&A's webpage. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The other day, I saw someone carrying their desktop computer to listen to KNNA online. I ran up to him and asked, "What are you doing?" He just looked at me like a cow looks at an oncoming train. "I'm streaming the radio, man." As I shook my head, I pulled out my phone and showed him the free KNNA app. When he saw this, his eyes widened and shone with delight.
Dad?
And light from above shined down on him, and he began to fly with happiness and joy.
Dad!
What?
Did that really happen?
Well, no, not really. The point is, sweetheart, that you can listen to 95.7 FM anywhere in the world by using the KNNA app on your mobile device.
Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/KNNA957. Like, share, and follow. And believe it or not, we are even on Instagram. Just search for KNNA The Cross and follow.
The United States, her constitution unlike that of any other world nation. A national ensign that proudly flies higher than any other. And servants, men and women who have taken an oath, a solemn witness promise, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to bear true faith and allegiance to that Constitution, that our Constitution and our way of life may stand firm as they have. Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. They are called Marines, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen. The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7. Thanks God for you. God bless you all, and may God bless America.
Nope, there we go. I have to actually, you know, turn the mics back on, David.
Yeah, that might be helpful.
Trying to help out with a problem on Facebook, and I think we figured it out. I think Meg figured it out that there's a mic on the camera.
I'll be darned.
And that's why they can still hear us, so whoops. That's the bloopers of the Y-Files, maybe.
Behind the scenes.
This is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk. Along with me is David and Pastor Poppy from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. And we have been discussing contemporary worship. And really quick, I just got this message. Let me look at – I don't know if I can find this or not. Sorry, Indy
Message
Adam.
From a listener?
Yeah, he's listening, and he wanted to mention something. So let me try and find it. David, would you mind continuing this while I look for this message? Would you please?
Sure. Pastor, it's kind of an obvious question, obvious answer at this point, but just to really hit the point home, why don't we have contemporary worship at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church?
okay, yeah, and you wanted to ask that question early on, and I said just ask it later
absolutely.
after we talk about some of these things, because I think the answer will be clear. Tomorrow, April 1st, 2019, mm-hmm. will be my 22nd anniversary here at Good Shepherd.
Congratulations.
Most of the April Fool's Day, so it's one of those tongue-in-cheek kind of anniversaries, but it is true. That's my anniversary date here at Good Shepherd. So most people in our congregation now were not around 22 years ago. A few were, but mm-hmm. most weren't. And I've told this story before. I may have even told it on Y-Files before. But when I came to Good Shepherd, Good Shepherd was 100% contemporary worship.
Hmm.
100%. And so we have slowly and intentionally moved away from contemporary worship to a more historic, liturgical, Orthodox Lutheran style and practice of worship. This is what this congregation agreed to when it joined the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mm-hmm. This is what this pastor agreed to. The Lutheran confessions say, we do not abolish the Mass. And the Mass is the just a simple word for the divine service, the worship service with the Lord's Supper. We do not abolish the Mass, as some of our critics accuse us of. Mm-hmm. In fact, we celebrate the Mass with more honor and more dignity than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so with great respect for God's word and with great respect for the doctrine that God has entrusted to us, we use these time-honored songs, liturgies, tradition. We're not bound by them. We don't have to do them as a matter of if we don't do them, we're not forgiven. We have great freedom. But in our freedom, we have intentionally moved in this direction. Because we as leaders in this congregation believe it is the best way to convey the truth of God's word to God's people in this place. And lo and behold, we did not realize that we were going to be so unique and cutting edge by simply getting out the hymnal and using it. You want to go find a church that uses contemporary music and contemporary songs. They're a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. They're all over. Mm-hmm. Try to find a congregation that takes seriously Lutheran doctrine and practice as it is contained in the Lutheran hymnal. Mm-hmm. And those congregations are rare. And we're in rarefied air in that respect. So why don't we? Because we intentionally moved away from it. Mm-hmm. The songs and the worship style that I inherited when I came here was theology light. It was Bible light. The longtime vacancy pastor who was here, now in heaven, Stu Fernhaber, he really, really believed that we needed to water down our theology, water down our worship, so that all the denominational divisions would cease, and then people would come flocking to us. Mm. It was well-intentioned, but it ended up being a fool's gold endeavor. Mm. So that's why we don't have contemporary worship here. And we have lots of people that drive a lot of miles to come to Good Shepherd simply because we don't have the big screens and the rock and roll band up by the altar.
Amen.
So you've mentioned a decent amount of cons with contemporary style worship services. Are there any pros to having that style of worship?
Well, I think if you look in our hymnal, you will notice that not all of the hymns are 500 years old, mm-hmm. 700 years old, 1,000 years old, or as the choir sang just a couple of weeks ago, a hymn that was, I don't know, 1700 years old, written by Saint Patrick. I bind myself to thee today. What an awesome, awesome hymn. Mm-hmm. So the church is always looking for ways to communicate the truths of God to the people of God. There are things or songs or prayers or litanies or liturgies or things like that that kind of come and go and truly are, in that respect, contemporary. Almost disposable. But while we prize the things of the past and the things that have proven over the decades and over the centuries to be great vehicles to bring Jesus and the word and its purity to its people, we are always looking for new ways to do that. Contemporary hymn writers in the Lutheran Church are continuing to write hymns and chorales and all kinds of liturgical pieces. Some of those might only be heard once or twice on a Sunday morning, and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. Some of those may be around 200, 300, 400 years after we're in the grave. Only time will tell. Only time will tell. So a mix and a blend of the old and the new is what we're looking for and what is constantly a part of the church. So when you say, is there anything good? I would say we're not going to scrap all the old and completely do something new, hoping we might find a diamond in the rough. But we'll continue to incorporate new songs, new hymns, new choral anthems, whatever, as long as they are faithful and true to God's word and to bringing God's gift in its truth and purity. We have much freedom with regard to singing these songs or praying these prayers, and some will stand the test of time and some won't.
Do you think the contemporary style worship services is a growing, I can't even think of the right word.
Is it a growing movement?
Is it a growing movement, or is it a movement that the pendulum's starting to swing back to more traditional services?
I'm glad you asked that question, Captain Kirk. I hold in my hands, if you're watching on Facebook, an article that was written a couple of years ago. It's on the Patheos website, and the Patheos is a kind of a clearinghouse for theological articles and things like that. www.patheos.com. And there's lots of good stuff on there. And this particular article that I copied off for the guys today is three reasons contemporary worship is declining, and what we can do to help the church move on. And I'm not going to read the article. If you're interested, go to the website and check it out. The author is Jonathan Aignet, A-I-G-N-E-T, or N-E-R, sorry.
Aigner?
Aigner.
Sure.
Okay, but just the reasons why he says contemporary worship is declining. One, baby boomers are losing their influence. It's amazing that baby boomers, people my age and older, came up with, hey, let's do contemporary worship to get all the young people in the church. And what basically they did was they did stuff that made them feel good and drove all the young people away. So baby boomers are dying off. Millennials are seeking old ways of doing things. Millennials want things that are authentic, and historical is authentic. Contemporary worship is an unstable and non-theological movement. Well, first of all, it's non-theological because it's not based on the Word of God. It's based on feelings and emotions. But it's unstable. This is what he says. To be thoroughly contemporary necessitates a slavish allegiance to the new, the current, the hip, the cool, and the commercial. It requires a thorough rejection of what is old, passé, and not current, and what doesn't make money. The bright, shiny objects that get butts in the seats must continue becoming brighter or shinier. This cannot be sustained.
All right. Amen.
Thank you for
I can't
that.
Believe we're out of time, Randy. You always do this to me, Jim.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, so, and again, I don't want people to think that the only bullet in Poppy's chamber is he hates contemporary music.
No.
I'm not contemporary Clint, but I don't hate contemporary music. I'll tell you what I hate. I hate worship and music that brings offense to Christ and his word. And I am for any vehicle that brings Jesus in his truth and purity, crucified and risen once and for all, for you. That's what I'm for, and that's a way to say it in the positive.
Thank you, Pastor Poppy, for coming on to the Y-Files. It's great to have you on board again, and we'll have you on again. Like I said, this is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say goodbye, David.
Goodbye, David.
And you can go to our website, thecross957.org, and you can look at the archives episodes that we have of the Y-Files. Be sure to like our Y-Files page, share our page, share the message of the Y-Files, because it's a great resource, a great tool to help you or anybody else who are seeking questions. So we got to go. We're out of time. Have a great week, Lincoln, and to you, KRRC in Rogue River, Oregon.